I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, please, and turn in them to the fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. When you found it, I'm going to ask you if you will stand, please. You know, I read in the book of either Ezra or Nehemiah, where Ezra stood before the people to read the law of God, the word of God to them. And it says that they all stood up as the word of God was read. I think that's good. I really think that's good. To stand up before God's word. You know, it's by the word of God that all the worlds were framed. God spoke his word and it happened. This is a holy yet powerful word that we're going to read. It is not just words on the page. Yes, they were put there by a printing press the same way all the rest of the books and the publications and so on that people read were made. But that's where the similarity stops. This is not ink on paper. This is the Spirit of God in written form. Let's begin to read, please. Just follow with me. Beginning to read in verse 30. When thou art in tribulation. Does that interest you? When thou art in tribulation. Does that ring a bell? When you're in trouble. When you're in distress. When you have difficulty. When you are being tempted. When you're being trialed. When you're being tried. When things are not going right. When you're in tribulation. I read that and I said, bless God, I wonder what he's going to say now. I want to know what comes after that, don't you? When you're in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. What days are these? The latter days, are they not? If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation by temptations and by signs and by wonders and by war and by a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes? Did that ever happen before? Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon the earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath there is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Is that good or is that good? Praise God. That sets my spirit to dancing on the inside. Praise God for his almighty word. Now we want to share something out of this word concerning this matter of when thou art in tribulation. As we do, let's just go before the Lord and ask him to bless what we're going to do. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've preserved this passage in your word And many others, Father, that confirm and give multiple witness to your instruction concerning times of trouble and tribulation. Jesus said, Father, that in the world, as long as we're in it, we would have tribulation. He said that. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We thank you, Father, that you didn't leave us here in a place where we're going to have tribulation without an out, without an answer, without a way that we might bear up and endure. We ask, Father, as we read this word and as we study it and other passages that relate to it, that you would just open it up to us, Father, in a clear way, such a perfectly clear way that even a child could pick up the simple truth that you've preserved here for all those that love you and seek after you. In Jesus' name, we believe you to do that very thing. Amen. You may be seated. Let me tell you how important this little passage of Scripture is. Yesterday, as I did not have for the morning service today, as of yesterday, I didn't know what the Lord wanted me to bring as far as what portion of His Word He wanted to have shared this morning. And I knew it had to do with the children, but I didn't know what aspect of it. And so I was seeking Him about it, and He said, go to the book of Deuteronomy and start reading. And so, and that's the way he does it. That's the way He talks to me. You know, you can hear God's voice. God will speak to you. He is not a dumb God. When I say dumb, I mean dumba. D-U-M-B, dumba, dumba God. He is not a dumb God. He can talk. He talked to Moses out of the burning bush. He talked to the Hebrew children out of a mountain burning with fire. He talked to the people of God when Jesus walked the earth out of the cloud from heaven. He spoke several times. And He speaks today. He spoke to Joshua with a still small voice, a voice that could just barely be heard. And God will speak to you too if you'll believe Him to speak to you. If you'll ask Him to and invite Him to and then believe Him to do it, He will. God speaks to His children. He talks to His people. He's a God that talks. And He said, begin to read at the book of Deuteronomy and just start reading. So I did. I know how to hear God's voice, and I obeyed Him, and I started reading through Deuteronomy, and just real good. And I read up there through about 6th or 7th chapter, and all of a sudden it just, okay, stop reading. That's all. But I didn't see what He wanted me to see. I didn't get it. And this morning, I thought I was looking for something for this morning, you see, and He wants to show me something for tonight. And I didn't see it. So this morning in the Sunday school class that meets here in this room, Charles Scott said, I'm sorry he's not here. Because it just, I didn't know until later this afternoon what God was doing in here this morning. And Charles got those. How many of you were here this morning? Okay, enough of you to remember this. He began to share out of Jeremiah 29:17. You know the passage that says, if you seek me with all of your heart, you shall find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And then he said, and go over to Deuteronomy 4:29 and read it there. And it's the same thing. Look at it. See, it says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou shalt seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Well, while he is saying, I don't know what it is about this passage of Scripture and why I was supposed to mention it, but it's for you. You just go ahead and take it. Well, it may have been for somebody, but I tell you what it was for. When he was reading that one, I jumped down to the 30th verse, and I couldn't get my eyes off that verse. When thou art in tribulation. And I read 30 and 31. Meantime, he's back talking about the book of James, and I couldn't get out of Deuteronomy. And then this afternoon, as I was asking the Lord about the message tonight, he just kept bringing this back and bringing it back and bringing it back, bringing it back. Now, I share that with you for this one reason. You may miss God the first time, but if you are sincere in your desire to get the mind of Christ, He'll take you round about the second time so that you get it. And if you miss it the second time, if you're sincerely seeking after Him, He'll take you around by it the third time. And if you're sincerely seeking Him and you missed it, He will take you around by it the fourth time. And as long as you continue to believe God and seek after Him and just humble yourself before Him, expecting Him to give you what it is you want, God will just keep taking you around. He'll keep taking you around until you look out the window and see what it is He wants you to see. And then you will have found it. So God's faithful. And if you ask Him something, you see, He'll give you answer. So many times I hear people saying that, well, I thought God told me I was supposed to go up to the bookstore, and I went up there and there wasn't anything. When I got there, there wasn't anything. I don't know why He sent me there. So I left. My advice is go back in again. And go back in again. And go back in again. If the Spirit of God speaks to you and says, pick up the telephone and call your sister, and you call your sister and nothing happens, you don't know what's going on there, pick her up and call her again. Talk to her again until you find out what it is that God wants you to know, what He wants you to see. All right, this is that's just a little aside, but what I want us to see is the message out of the Scripture. God speaking to His people through Moses, when thou art in tribulation. We are living in the latter days. It's not an easy time to live in. There is much trouble available in the world, and Jesus Himself made a promise. It's kind of a reverse promise, but it is a promise. He said that as long as you're in the world, you will have tribulation. This word tribulation literally means distress, troubles, trials, difficulties. But the Spirit of God, in writing the Word, has given us clear direction and clear understanding to the truth that God has not purposed to leave us in our tribulations. He has purposed to bring us through them. Yes, we're going to have them. But God's purpose is to bring us through them, not leave us in them. All right, what do you do if you find yourself in tribulation? When thou art in tribulation. Moses said, when you're in tribulation, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient unto His voice. I find in ministering that the reason many people do not receive their deliverance from God when they're in trouble, the reason that many people do not receive their freedom when they are in distress, is that they are calling out to God, perhaps, but at the same time calling out to three or four other sources. Moses said, call out to God. Put your trust in God and God only. Recognize God as the one who is your source. Recognize that God has the ability, the willingness, and the readiness to deliver you out of whatever that trouble is. Most of the time, it was shared in the Sunday school class this morning, so many times Christians who know that God has the ability and the power to set them free from their distress go and they pray and they say, God, help me. And then they instantly go out and begin to interfere with what God is trying to do. They put their right hand in here. They put their left hand in here. They say, I think I should do this. I think I should do that. They get advice from their neighbor. They get advice from their doctor. They get advice from their father. They get advice from their in-laws' pastor. They get advice from the magazines and the newspapers. And they expect God to be working on that problem. In the meantime, they are out there diligently and busily trying to get the thing solved. Moses said, when you're in tribulation, call out to God and be obedient to Him. Now, I can't overemphasize this, and I do not know how to say it any more clear. I don't know a way to say it any more clear than that. I wish I did. I was seeking the Spirit of the Lord this afternoon to ask Him to give me some way that I might say that more clearly to you. To be obedient to His voice and to trust Him. I'll tell you, if you come to me and you were to say in the natural, Vic, I need some help with thus and so. I need you to do thus and so for me. Would you do it? And I say, well, yes, I'll do it. Let's say, here's an example just comes to mind. Suppose you called me and said, Vic, I know you've got a pickup truck and I need to pick up some plywood up at the lumber yard. Would you pick it up for me? And I say, yeah, I'll pick it up for you. And while I'm on the way to the lumber yard, I get wind that you have called four other people with pickup trucks. Do you know where I'm going? Home. And that's exactly where God's going when you call four more pickup trucks. Because you know what it says to God? The same thing it would say to me. Vic, I didn't trust you. You said you would, but I didn't believe you would. I didn't really know for sure. And it was so important to me, I figured I better have a backup plan. Now, if you have a backup plan for God, I can guarantee you God will not come through for you because you don't need it. You don't need it. You do not need it. When you're in need, that's when God comes through, because then he'll be glorified, not you or the other guy in the pickup truck. Do you see? God wants to get your, he wants your love. He wants your adoration. He wants your worship. He wants to show himself mighty in your behalf. And if you've got eight other people working on your situation, God's going to let you go on and do it. It won't work. It won't work. It won't work. It will not work unless you put your faith and your confidence and your trust in God and say, God, you're my source. I call out to you. He said, call out unto me and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Put your trust in the Lord and be obedient. You do nothing until he tells you to do it. Now, sometimes the Lord will tell you. You say, Father, I need a job. And the Lord will speak to you and he'll tell you where to go. Now, if you don't go, if you sit at home, you're not going to get that, you see. You must be obedient to his voice. You must do what he's telling you to do. He's not going to drop it in, you see, out of the blue. But so many of us spend so much of our time, and it's a difficult thing to try to uncover. It's very difficult, I find, in ministering to people. It is difficult for me to perceive that the person who says, I'm believing God, I'm trusting God, I've released this matter unto God, I know he's taken care of it. It's hard for me to see sometimes. Sometimes I have to be involved in a situation for a while before I finally see that that person is in there busily going like this, you see. Just trying to get the thing right. And won't leave it to God. Now that is doubt in operation. It is unbelief in operation. And unbelief is an abomination unto God. The word says that God is pleased only with our faith. Without faith, you cannot please him. If you want God to help you in your time of trouble, then you put your trust in him and nobody else. Nobody else. And keep your hands out once you turn loose of it to God. Sometimes with our children, I think this is an area where we are tempted probably to interfere. We come to the altar and we lay our child. Oh, I lay my child on the altar to you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I release my child to you. Do whatever you want, Father, with my child. He's yours. She's yours. And on the way out the door, we're trying to arrange his dates. See? When we get home, we're calling somebody. Have you heard from John? Do you know what he's doing? Do you know where he is? That's not trusting God. It doesn't matter what you say. It's not believing God. It's believing yourself and trying out God. You want God on the job, you see, in case nothing else works. Now, that won't work for you. It just won't work. God's not going to be operating in that kind of a situation. God does not operate in confusion. He operates when he's the only man on the job. That way, when it's done, there isn't anybody else can get the credit for it. And you can say it's only by the grace of God, and you worship and praise him, and he gets the credit for it. If you're not willing to believe him for that, then go on and do your own thing. Try to get yourself out of your own trouble. Get yourself out of your own tribulation. But do not say, God's not working for me. That's a bum rap. That's a bum rap. God will work for you. First of all, then, call out to God. Turn to him only, not to any other source. Do not interfere with what he is doing. When you turn loose of a situation, turn loose. Let it go. I've just been through one, Lois and I. Some of you know about that circumstance. We learned one wonderful lesson. That when you really believe God, and when you really call out to God, and when you really release the situation to the Lord, bless God, it does not take him long to get it turned around. Didn't we read it somewhere here that... Did we read it in this passage tonight? That he's swift. But was it in the psalm? It was in Psalm 46, I believe it was. That we read tonight something about his swiftness. His swiftness, huh? Right early. That's the verse. That's the one. Psalm 46. And that right early. That means right away, you see, promptly. God's not interested in dragging these things out. God wants to give you results. Why does he want to give you results? So that you can say to others, do you know what God did for me? Oh, praise the Lord. My Jesus is a wonderful almighty God. I want to tell you what he did for me. That's what he wants. Jesus said, let your good works be seen by men, you see, so that they will give glory to your Father who's in heaven. All right, the second thing then is to believe God and believe his promise. Verse number 31. The promise is this. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. Now, this is the important part. Nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore to them. God said, I'll not forget my covenant with you. He spoke to us this morning, didn't he, powerfully in the morning service. He said, I am a covenant-keeping God. A covenant is a contract. A covenant is an agreement made between two. God says, I remember my covenant. I know what I said. I know every word of it. And I remember what I promised you. And I remember what I promised your fathers. I remember what I promised you and your families. I remember what I said to you, and I will see that it comes to pass. God remembers. He believes that he will do what he said he will do. Why can't we? If he believes it, why don't we? He's our Father. We're our children. We're his children. We're born after his image and in his likeness. Is that not right? It ought to be natural for us to believe that, not to doubt it. Doubt is unnatural for a Christian. Unbelief is opposed, you see. It's not in our nature. Faith is our nature. Believing is our nature. And one of the things that you must first settle in your heart is this. And that, you notice in verse 31, there's a little parenthetical insertion there. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Why do you suppose Moses stuck that in there? He said, look, folks, God didn't lay this trouble on you. He said, this thing that is troubling you and giving you difficulty and distress did not come from God. God's a merciful God. He'll not destroy you. He'll not do these things. Turn over to Isaiah 54. Let me show you a verse of scripture that'll just knock the devil's lies right in the head. Now this, you must settle this in your heart, that the tribulation that comes upon you does not come from God. If you think it comes from God, then it'll be impossible for you to believe God to set you free from it. As a matter of fact, if you think it's coming from God, then you would be going against God, you see, to ask him to set you free. You must settle in your heart that God didn't lay it on you. You must know that. And here's the word. Beginning to read it, verse 11, Isaiah 54. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Sound familiar? Ever been like that? Not as much as I used to, thank you. Thanks be to God for that. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Does that sound bad? That sounds good, doesn't it? Don't understand what all that is, but it sounds good, right? And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now get verse 15. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Now underline that, but not by me. God says, yes, they're going to gather together against you. Yes, the enemy is going to come against you, but I didn't send them. I'm not bringing this trouble against you. I'm not bringing this trial against you. I'm not bringing this distress into your life. Not by me. Yes, it's coming, but not by me. Why would he do that when he sent Jesus to shed his blood so that we would not be oppressed, so that we could overcome in him? Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. And then if you want some good reading, just read those next two verses. It's good. God's merciful. He did not inflict your tribulation upon you. It did not come from God. He is not the one that has laid it upon you. It's the devil that has laid your distress upon you. Never forget that Satan is the thief. Jesus is the life giver. Jesus said, the thief cometh for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. If it involves taking away, if it involves stealing, killing, or destroying, it's the work of the devil. If it involves abundance and if it involves life, it's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference. God does not bring that distress and that tribulation. Therefore, you to believe God for the deliverance out of it. Do you see? It's all right if you say yes. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I want to be sure that you see what it is that we're sharing here. If you don't, we'll go back over it again, because it's too important for us just to skip over lightly. All right? When thou art in tribulation. I'll tell you what I find works for me. This verse 31, Deuteronomy 4, says that God will not forget the covenant of thy fathers which he made unto them. Do you know where the covenant is that God made unto our fathers, unto my father and yours? Where is that covenant? It's right here. This is the covenant that we have with God. This is the covenant that God made with my fathers. This is the agreement that God Almighty said, I make with you, Abraham. I make with you, Isaac. I make with you, Jacob. This is the contract, you see, that I have with God. God said, I'm not going to forget my covenant with you. So if I want delivered out of my tribulation, I'm going to find a place in this covenant where it says that that doesn't belong to me. And when I find the promise that that doesn't belong to me, I'm going to stand on that and put God in remembrance of it. He said, I'm not going to forget it. I'm going to find out where it is, and I'm going to remind him of it. I'm going to say, you see right here where you told Abraham, Father, that his enemies would come against him one way and flee seven? He said to him, I say, my enemy's coming against me one way. I want to see him fly seven. You got a covenant with me. Let me see it. Now, some of you may think that's arrogance. It's not arrogance. It is boldness based on God's word. Boldness based on God's word. It is arrogance in the face of the devil. You bet your life it is. When I get my hands on him, you see. Find the promise. Find out the answer for your dilemma in the covenant. Find out where in here it says that that doesn't belong to you. If you're sick, you find out in here why you're not supposed to be sick. You find out in here where God said, I've healed you. By his stripes you are healed. He bore your infirmities and your sicknesses. If you have a financial need and you are distressed financially, you find out in here where it says, and my God shall meet all of your needs by his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Find out where it says God is pleased with the prosperity of his servants. Find those promises in here. You see? And that'll give you something to anchor your faith on. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You cannot believe God for anything other than what you know he's already promised you here. Now, you can try to get your faith to work on what somebody else thinks, but it will not work. It will only work if it is based on the Bible. It will only work if it's based on God's promise. You cannot base it on what someone else says. You cannot base it on what makes good sense. You cannot base it on what you want. You cannot base it on what you need. You cannot base it on what your dad said. You cannot base it even on what your pastor said, bless God. If you want God to move for you in your distress, you better base your believing on His promise. That's the only place your faith will work. That's the only place it will work. If it's not based on this word, it will not work for you. You say, well, this faith, I don't know about that. It really doesn't work for me. If it doesn't work for you, I know what the problem is. It's you. I mean, it's that simple. And I don't take any pleasure in saying that. But that's the truth. Because I know if it doesn't work for me, the problem's me. There ain't any problem with him. There's no problem with this word. It worked for Jesus. The Bible says he that sanctified and those that are sanctified are one. That means Jesus and me are one. Bless the Lord. We are one. If it worked for Jesus, it'll work for me if I do the same thing he did. And it'll work for you in the same way. So call out to God. Believe that God will not forget his covenant. And then stand. Now what do you do when you're standing? You've asked God for his deliverance out of your tribulation. The deliverance has not come yet. You're still wandering in the wilderness. What are you going to do while you're wandering in the wilderness while the devil is out there with a 30-30 going bing, 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 bing? Your dad says you're crazy. Your husband thinks you've lost your marbles. Your boss thinks that you've gone wacko. You still can't pay your bills, or your body is still hurting, or whatever your distress is. You see no answer in it. You get more and more distressed. It gets worse and worse and worse. What are you going to do? The Word of God says, having done all, stand. What do you do while you're standing? I like what Moses did. I like what he did. Look what he did here in verse 32 and following. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard? Did God ever take him a nation out of another nation? Did God ever stretch out his arm and stretch out his hand and deliver a people like you? Did God ever do those things before? Moses said, remember what God has already done for you. And then you'll be able to perceive that he is in the process of doing what it is you've asked him to do. Encourage yourself in the Lord, Moses said. Encourage yourself. There's a story in the 20th chapter of the book of Judges. And I ministered on this a number of months ago in talking about the area of persistence. Persistence in prayer and believing God. And it's the story of the Israelites who, having gone before God, they were having some trouble with an enemy. They went before God and they said, God, should we go up against this enemy? Or are we going to win? And God says, yes, you're going to win. Go on up and take them. Well, they went up the next day and they got soundly trounced. 23,000 of their best soldiers were killed. They came back, and in the 22nd verse of Judges chapter 20, it says, and they encouraged themselves. And the next day they went back up again. They get trounced again. They came back, and the third day they went up, and they mopped up on those Gibeonites. It took them three times, you see. Took them three times to go. But how did they have the courage to keep going? They encouraged themselves. They reminded themselves of who was with them. They reminded themselves that they were the children of God. They were the chosen of Almighty God. They were the ones that God had chosen out of all of the nations of all of the earth. They were the ones in whom God's presence dwelt, and that as long as God was with them, they couldn't fail. It didn't matter how many of them died. They were going to win. David, in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, the 6th verse, we're told that after David came back from one of his campaigns, he found that the enemy had come around behind him and had taken away all of the wives and the children and the families of all of his men. destroyed the camp that they had, destroyed the place they lived. That's tribulation. That's trouble. That's distress. But the word says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does it mean to encourage yourself in the Lord? It means to meditate not upon the problem that's at hand, but to meditate upon your experience with God. To meditate on what you used to be and what you are now. To meditate on what God has delivered you out of. To meditate on the fact that God has already proven himself faithful time after time after time after time. And when the devil comes and says, it's not working, friend, you say, bless God, it is working. I rebuke you, Satan, get thee behind me. My God has delivered me. See, encourage yourself in the Lord. While you're standing, remember what God has already done. I'll tell you sometimes when I think when we encounter difficulties as far as a fellowship is concerned, I'm talking just about our about the center here. And when things don't seem to be going just the way they ought to go, and the enemy comes with his tribulation and with his trouble and with his discouragement, I begin to remember what God has done in 2 years. And I begin to meditate on the blessedness of God, on the faithfulness of God, on the assurance and the confidence that we have in him, that if he's done it all this time, do you think he's brought us to this place to let us die? No, no, no. If necessary, he'll strike the rock and we'll have water. You see, Moses said, when you're in tribulation, remember what God has done. And remember this, as he said in verse 35, unto thee it was showed. God's already demonstrated his power to you. He has already demonstrated his love to you. He has delivered you out of the clutches of the devil. He has already set you free. Remember the number of times that God Almighty has already healed your body. Remember the times when you needed financial assistance and God has provided it. Put yourself in remembrance. Encourage yourself in the things that God has already done for you. Remember those things. The devil would have you forget them. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. In other words, God has already shown you these things so that you'll know and I will know that he is a loving heavenly Father, that he is a merciful heavenly Father, that he truly does keep his covenant. He's never broken his word to me, has he to you? Has he ever broken his covenant to you? I don't know him to break his covenant. I don't know God to break his word. I've never known him to ever do it. Why should we not expect him to keep it today or tomorrow or the next day? Verse 39, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, and there is none else. God's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your trouble. He is bigger than your distress. He is bigger than anything else on the earth or in the heaven. He's God. Sometimes because God has withheld the demonstration of his power, sometimes because we have not seen God do great and marvelous and mighty things, or we haven't seen him do it today. Maybe we saw it yesterday, but we haven't seen it today. Sometimes we lose sight of how big God is. Let me say that again. Sometimes we lose sight of how big God is. Sometimes we lose sight of how big God is. If we knew, if we were aware, if we carried in our spirits at all times how big God is, tribulation wouldn't be a problem. Trouble wouldn't be a problem. Distress would not be a problem. When it came, it would fly away seven ways. Bless the Lord. See, that's the covenant that God made with Abraham and with his descendants. Those are the blessings. Now read with me, please, verse 38. Would you read it aloud with me? To drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, and to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. God does not care about the odds. He doesn't care how big the enemy is. He has no concern for how serious or how terrible or how terminal or how awful the tribulation may be. It may be bigger than anything you have ever encountered before in your life or ever had anybody encounter. But I want to ask you this question. Do you know where the Jebusites are today? Do you know where the Amalekites are? How about the Babylonians? They had one of the greatest civilizations that the world has ever known. Anybody know where the Babylonians are today? How about the Amorites? Anybody seen any Moabites lately? Edomites? Perizzites? Hivites? Hittites? Did I say Amorites? Assyrians? Medes? Any Medes around? How about Persians? Where are all these people? Did you ever hear of the Israelites? Why? Because they got a covenant with God. The devil has done all he can, you see, to destroy that nation. He'll do everything he can to destroy you. But in the same way that he could not destroy Israel, the people of God, he will not destroy you either, because you're the people of God. The Word says that God is not concerned with how big your enemy is, because he's bigger than all of them. He's bigger than all. Now, this is a God who said one day, now I know they say that all this took place over millions of years. I'm saying to you, it took place in a day. God said, let there be light. And there was light. He said one day, let the dry land rise out of the waters that cover the whole earth. You know what happened? The dry land came up out of the water, just like he said. He said one day, let us create man in our own image and in our own likeness, let us make him. Did it in a day. For how many thousands of years have men been studying themselves, trying to find out what makes us tick? God made us in a day, without mistake, without error. Now you tell me that if the muscle in the back of your left leg is aching, that God is not able to take care of that? It really is just about that ridiculous, isn't it? This is a big God, folks. He's not a puny little God. He's a big God. He's big enough to meet your every need, but yet he's small enough to live inside you if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's some kind of a good God. Oh, that's some kind of a wonderful Heavenly Father. When thou art in tribulation, don't roll down the aisles moaning, but call out to God. Believe that he's a covenant-keeping God. And while you're standing and waiting for the manifestation of your deliverance, put yourself in remembrance and encourage yourself in the things that God has already done in your life. Each and every one of you have a wonderful, marvelous, precious Christian testimony. Every one of you. When we have testimony time, I have to shut you off. Because you all want to come up here, and when you come, you want to share and share. You can't tell one little thing that Jesus did. You want to tell your whole life story. That's all right. That's all right. But we ought to begin to testify to ourselves, because it would do us a lot of good, you see, in times of trial, in times of trouble. James chapter 1. The Apostle James says this in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation or trials or tribulation or distress. Blessed is he, happy is he. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I don't know any way for the love of God to be deepened in you or in me than to believe God by faith in his word and to have him time after time after time bring us through the trials and the tribulations and the troubles of this life. It's as we go through them that our love deepens for him. This word endure that's used in that verse doesn't mean to just allow it to happen, but means to stand your ground. And literally that verse said, blessed or happy is the man who holds his ground while he's in the middle of distress. For the crown of life, the victory, will be his. It belongs to us who love God. 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 14th verse, says, praise be unto God who always causes, always. Do you hear that? Always. Say that with me. Always. Say it again. Always. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let's just confess that verse. Just say it after me. Now thanks be to God.
Now thanks be to God.
Which always causes us.
To triumph in Christ.
Now say it with me. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Say it again. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That's good, brothers and sisters. That's good. I mean, it's good. It's shouting. It's shouting music. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we want to thank you that you haven't turned us loose in this world and then turned your back on us to let us fend for ourselves and do the best we could. We thank you, Father, that you cause us to triumph always because of Jesus Christ. We recognize, Father, that you're a merciful God, that our trials and tribulations come from our enemy and your enemy, Satan. But we thank you, Father, that the Word tells us that your Son Jesus was revealed in the earth to destroy the works of Satan. And that when Jesus Christ took flesh upon himself and died, that through that death he defeated the one that used to have the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed him. He made an open show of him as he triumphed over him. We thank you today, our Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ sits at your right hand, above every principality and power, above every dominion and every kingdom, in the natural as well as in the spiritual world, and that all of those things are under his feet. And you have said that because we are in Christ, because we are members of your family, because we are born again of his Spirit, that we are seated with him in those heavenly places, high above every principality and power. We thank you, Father, for your promise that you have already given unto us every spiritual blessing, which includes deliverance out of tribulation and out of trouble. Yes, Father, we recognize that it will come. For you said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you also said that the Lord delivereth them out of them all. We receive tonight, Father, that promise and that assurance that tribulation may be ours, but deliverance is also. We praise you tonight, our Father, that you're a covenant-keeping God. That you remember, Father, the promises that you made. And we ask you tonight, our Father, by your Holy Spirit who dwells in us, to cause those promises to come swiftly and powerfully to our mind, that we might stand upon them when we encounter tribulation. You've already said we are overcomers. Therefore, we confess with you and we agree with your word that whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and we're born of God. Therefore, we have already overcome the world. We are overcomers. We believe that and confess that, Father, because you've said it about us. And if you've said it, that makes it right. Regardless of how we feel, Regardless of how it may look, we believe, Father, that you have told us the truth and we set ourselves in agreement for it. And now, Father, if there is anyone here tonight who is distressed or who's troubled, who may be in tribulation, we want to take opportunity now, Father, to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. You said that when we are in tribulation that we should first ask, call out to you and to you only. Release our problem to you completely. And you said, secondly, we should believe in your covenant and in your word. And third, you said we should stand fast and remember your blessings and your faithfulness and encourage ourselves. And so, Father, we come before you now. Those who may be troubled, those who may be in tribulation and in distress. And we're going to do the word, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, and as Sally goes to the piano just to begin to play softly for us, I'm going to just invite you that if you're in tribulation or if you're in trouble, the word says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the Spirit of the Lord may be dealing with you tonight. You may not be saved. You may not know Jesus as your Savior. And you may be troubled in your spirit because you know you're not right with God. Or you may have known God, but you've walked away from Him and you want to come back. You want to make your life right with Him. You may have a physical difficulty or a trouble. You may have a material or a financial need or something in your family, something involving a relationship. If you're in distress tonight, no matter how big or no matter how small, I invite you to come now and just come and kneel at this altar in front here of the platform here and call out to God. Give your trouble and your distress to Him. Ask Him for your deliverance. Ask Him to meet your need. Believe that that which He has declared unto you, He'll do. And then stand. He'll do it, beloved. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 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 Now be specific with the Lord. Be specific with Him. Don't play word games with Him. Don't play around, but be specific with Him. Tell Him exactly what's on your heart. Tell Him exactly what it is that you want. Tell Him exactly what you expect Him to do based upon His word.